pandemic got us into a reflective space and made us look inward to see what we can do for the world at large. As a self-expression coach, I became a catalyst for women and started Vani, a one-on-one coaching program for women on finding their voice, to speak up, to be visible. As a storyteller, I spotted there were many ordinary people amongst us leading extraordinary lives, making a difference to the world, and they needed to be heard. Thus was born You and I with Rashmi Shetty, where amazing personal journeys with their uniqueness and individuality are showcased. A reaffirmation of the fact, open your eyes wider, the world is far more beautiful when we acknowledge the presence of both you and I. Our guest today is Swastika, the co-founder and CEO of the not-for-profit Wallow Books Project. She hails from the little town called Kursiam and leads an amazing team who are deeply passionate about children and education. They are on a mission to help children become capable agents of change for their families. Listen in as she shares her whole journey of creating the meaningful Wallow Books Project as a magical getaway for children to get in touch with the storyteller within. Hi, Swastika. I am fascinated with what you do. Welcome to You and I with Rashmi Shetty. And it's been a beautiful connect via LinkedIn. What was little Swastika like to the Swastika Gurun that the world knows you today as?
Thank you so much, Rashmi, for inviting me. You know, I'm born and brought up in Kursiam. I don't know whether you've heard of Kursiam. Kursiam is nestled between, Darjeeling and Siliguri. If you happen to travel towards Darjeeling, there's a small town called Kursiam. So I am from Kursiam. And when I was a kid, I was very mischievous. Okay, I used to go around doing various things. You know, I was not a good kid. Okay, I never used to keep quiet. I used to do a lot of things which my parents used to tell me which were not supposed to be done.
Okay.
But at the same time, I had this habit, you know. During my school days, I used to read a lot of books. And after reading those books, you know, before the exams or, you know, before the school started, you know, I used to tell my parents to buy books for me and I used to read it. And especially I was fond of English language. And, you know, and whenever there used to be any visitors at my place, I used to tell them, you know, hold this book and ask me anything from here. So, yeah, that was maybe one of the good things that I used to do in which my parents used to feel very proud of me.
Which of your parents was into reading that you got this habit?
I guess my dad, he was into reading at his younger age.
Okay.
Yes, he was into reading. But okay. Both my parents, they were working for the government sector. And, you know, they were both busy all the time.
Mm.
Since our childhood, me and little brother, and we've been very independent, you know. In fact, I used to make tea when I was in class 4 or maybe in 3, you know, 3-4 years.
Okay.
So we both thought like we were very independent since our early days.
Okay. So since you were a child so interested in reading, is the assumption right that you were very good in school as a student as well?
No. I loved reading, but I was not a good student. I was not a good student. Seriously, I think teachers used to think that I was very naughty in my school days. In fact, I never used to listen to people, I think.
Okay, and as far as studies goes, were you a topper in certain subjects? Because you said you loved English, so was yes. English your favorite subject even in school? How were you as a student studies boy?
Wow, great question. But during my school days, I wasn't a very good student. I was an average student, but I used to love reading stories, storybooks. And I used to take part in education. Education has always been my favorite. And yeah, but I wasn't really very good in maths nor in science, but in English used to be one of my favorite subjects.
Okay. And you studied in the same town, or did you move towards Darjeeling? How did you move on with your studies after 10th? What did you do?
Oh, so I did my schooling from here in Kaohsiung, and after that, I did my graduation from Calcutta.
Oh,
And
okay.
yes, while doing my master's, in my second year of master's, I met Sanjit, and that is how, the Wallabooks journey started.
Okay. So you did your graduation in which subject?
Commerce. Yes, in commerce. I don't know
Commerce?
that. Yes, I was a very bad student, but there is this weird thing, in the people in the hills, especially people of my parents' generation, they are more like you have to take either science or commerce because these two subjects are very important.
Oh, okay.
They never gave preference to arts. So
Okay.
I kind of took commerce and but yeah, so that
And
is.
in your post graduation, what did you study?
It was in commerce only, but second year, I couldn't complete I did my first year master's, and second year, while preparing for my exam, maybe during that time I met Sanjukt, and I didn't feel like giving my exam, and then I started my journey with Wallabooks.
Okay, and from commerce, you are now into this amazing world of creating books for children. So, can you take us through this journey? Because thanks to Sanjit, I met you. So, can you take us through this journey that the two of you started together and what it has been like?
Oh wow, it's a long journey. In fact, it's almost 10 years. So, all these things, you can see, it started with a small experiment. But let me tell you a few things that how we started. We started connecting two kids using just a postcard.
Yeah, but why
Imagine.
did you choose kids, Swastika? What was the idea behind getting onto this project in the first
Okay.
place?
So what had happened was Sanjit used to run this consulting firm in Calcutta, and then I met him, and he had started a small project, working with not exactly a project, but there was this football tournament, I guess, which he had done in a place called Sundarbans in West Bengal, and I met him. And while meeting him, he said that, I'm doing this. I've just started it. It's a small, you can call it, a CSR project that we have undertaken. And do you want to be a part of it? And I was like, okay, well, why not? Because, I'm very adventurous. I like challenges. I love challenges, in fact. And while coming to Calcutta, I'd seen that there was a lot of problems which I'd faced. Because people in Calcutta, they look different than people in the hills. During my college days, during my master's, I used to face a lot of racism. People used to call me Chinese, Chinky, German, this and that, and I was like, it was too much for me. And then when I met him, when he told me about this fantastic project that he had started, I was like, okay, wow, well, let me take it up and how, and let me take it up and see where it goes. And then while doing this project, while looking for organizations to work with, I went to this place in Calcutta. It's called Piljala Shed. It's in Park Circus. It is one of the biggest slums in Calcutta. It's just next to the railway station. And then, when I went there was a, small bunch of kids. They looked at me, as though I was some sort of an alien from another world. And they wanted to speak up, but they were scared. And but there were two, three naughty kids at the back who were trying to tease me. And then, I met them. And then, I started interacting with them. I started asking them their names, where they are from. And slowly, they started kind of opening up. The first thing they said was, "Didi, aap kahan ke ho?" When I told them Darjeeling, they were like, "Darjeeling kahan hai?" ऐसे करके ना ऊपर 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 है इसमें, ऊपर ऊपर जाना पड़ता आपको पहाड़ों में. दोज टाइप ऑफ क्वेश्चंस दे हैड. दे स्टार्टेड टचिंग माय हैंड, दे स्टार्टेड टचिंग माय हैंड. व्हाई इज योर हेयर सो सिल्की? व्हाई इज योर आईज लाइक दिस? व्हाई आर यू सो फेयर? व्हाई आरंट वी लाइक दिस? देन द थिंग इट स्ट्रक मी सो हार्ड. इट इज लाइक वाओ, यू नो दे हैव सो मच, दे आर सो क्यूरियस, दे वांट टू नो व्हाट इज रियली हैपनिंग. But for them, the world was so much limited. It was just under the place that they lived in, that small little place, you know, the Jalashat where they lived in. They didn't even know about what was happening in their own city. They didn't even know about Howrah Bridge, how big it is, where it is. And for them, you know, then that is how my journey started. I felt like I have to work with kids. The satisfaction that you get working with kids, it's phenomenal. At the end of the day, you feel so good. Wow, you know, I've done something good. It's so satisfying. So that is how my journey started working with kids. Yeah.
Okay. And then on, how did it move into a concrete project? You said it started as a small project,
Yes,
CSR project. What was
exactly.
the project around when it started? You were going into this place and making a difference into the world of the kids by teaching them something? How was the project designed?
So what really happened was when I started visiting all these organizations and started trying to understand what they are, what exactly, what are the needs, right? Because you cannot just plan. Planning is there, important. But more important than planning is, you know, going there, putting yourself there, you know, understanding their needs. What is it that is important? So what we did was, after visiting all this organization, trying to understand their needs, the first thing we did was connecting these kids using just a postcard. For example, you are from Bangalore and I am from you know, Calcutta or Gurseum. Now imagine you, I connect you, I mean you and I are connected using just postcard for 12 months. You don't even know me, I don't even know you, but we are connected through postcards. So that is how it all started, you know. So that is how the kids started being curious. That is how the kids started, because the kids that we work, right, they are from a very deprived background. They haven't seen the world. They do not know. Like I told you earlier, for them, the world is very limited. But now imagine having a friend from another world, you know, and you know, knowing about them. It's so powerful.
Yeah, but
So that is how.
how do you match the friends, Swastika?
Oh,
How
yes.
do you decide who's going to be which kid's friend to understand, and what is the language of communication in the postcard that they would write to each other?
Oh yes, sure. So what happened was, you know, when we started this postcard project back in 2013, we had these fellows from all over India
Okay.
who had, you know, volunteered for us. So all these fellows in different cities, you know, they used to conduct this workshops. And they used to send us the postcards. And what we used to do was, we were like the post office, connecting one kid from another city, you know, and exchanging the postcard. So you are connected with me for 12 months using just a postcard. So that is how we did the exchange and the language. So for example, let me tell you a small example. So the kids in Darjeeling are more advanced, you know, like they know how to speak in English, they write English. Whereas the kids in Calcutta, what happened was, their English were not so good as the kids out here in Darjeeling. So when we connected them, you know, the first letter, the first postcard was on my identity, because you know it's very important, right? Who am I? So that was the I feel, you know, and like we feel like it's very important to tell them the meanings of the name, to tell them about their identity, who they are. For example, the meaning of Rashmi. Okay, let me ask you, what does Rashmi, what is the meaning of your name?
Ray of sunlight.
Now imagine. Now you are a kid in a small town in, say, Bangalore, and I tell you that, you know, the meaning of your name is Ray of Sunlight. You know, if you're not there, then there is no light. You give, you know, you make things bright. You bring smile on people's face, not only in people, you bring smile everywhere. And you're so important in this world. Without you, there's only darkness. If I happen to tell you, if you're a kid, you know, six, seven years old kid, how good you would feel, right? And so, you know, when you grow up, you need to be that bright. You need to, what do you call it? Give happiness to everyone. And now imagine, now I tell you that, and you write it on a postcard. It can be in any language. Language should not be the barrier. You know, you can write, you can draw. And now that card, postcard is connected. And now that postcard is given to another kid from another city. And then, that is how the exchange happens. So so it's very powerful, right? So the language is not the barrier. So what happens really is, the first month, maybe the kid would not be very comfortable in writing. Maybe the kid would write in her local language, or maybe half in English, half in Bengali or Hindi, and then draw. But the other kid may write in English. And then when the other kid receives the postcard, which is written in English, that kid would be like, "Are even I need to write in English, because my friend is writing in English." There is some sort of little competition there, because, that kid wants to impress her friend. And, that is how it starts. So that is how the kids are more clear. Oh, now I've got a friend in another city. Oh, let me know, how the place is. There may be so many things. Now the kids will be very curious. So that is how we started. So in 2013, we worked across 8 cities in India. We did a small experiment in America and in Mauritius, connecting kids from different cities and different countries. And it was fantastic. The kids really enjoyed making friends. Kids started exchanging postcards with each other. They started feeling that, we are not different. We are one. And it was a fantastic project, but sadly it didn't last. We did it just for 1 year, because the fellows, they had their own important things to do, and it was not a scalable project. During that 1 year time, we also understood what are the needs, what is it which is really important for them. So then we started working with more institutes, giving them access to books, and that is how the Wallabooks project started.
Okay, before we get into Wallabooks, I love this idea of this postcard project, but my curiosity is, how did you decide who to get in touch with? Like you said, you went to America, Mauritius as well, and how did you get in touch with who was the center point in each of these places in order to make sure that you find your volunteers?
Okay, so what we did was in Calcutta, in fact, like I told you, I'm very adventurous. I love going to places. I love challenges. So during the time, I was the only, you can call the employee, everything of the name actually arrested, the name of arrested organization is Crayon Support Foundation. And Wallabooks is just a project. So I, in Calcutta, I worked with around 10 organizations, working with them. I mean to say, I visited all these organizations, trying to understand how many kids they have, what sort of student they serve. So, I connected with them. And whereas the fellows that we have, which we had in different cities, we did something called the Global Fellowship Program. So it was a 12-month program. From there, we had these fellows conducting workshops in different parts of the country. Not only in India, in Mauritius also we did have fellows. And in America, we had tied up with one organization. And yes, that is how it worked.
So 1 year you saw what difference you could bring. And then what happened to Wallabooks? How did it reach to the level it has today? How did all the different ideas and projects come into play? Because I think some of the books that I saw that Sanjuk showed me were fascinating, were beautifully created and curated so wonderfully that even as an adult, I was curious to know how the story would end. Simple stories, but very beautifully put together. So can you take us through that journey?
Oh, sure. I'd love to. So what happened was, during this 1 year, you know, we realized a lot of things. What is important for kids, you know, you should not be very close with them because they have a lot of hope, right? And so, you know, and there were many things that we realized. So what are the needs of the children? What is it that we should be doing for them, you know, being at a distance? And then what really happened was, Sanjut, you know, he has been reading books throughout his life. His father was a principal and he has his own story. You know, maybe next time when we are in your podcast, he would love to tell you about his journey. Sanjut had this idea that, Swastika, why don't we give children books? And it sounded a fantastic idea because while doing this postcard exchange program, you know, since the kids were more curious, they wanted to know so many things, but they had very limited resources. So, you know, when I started asking their teacher or, you know, the organization head whether the kids read books or not, they had their answer was no. Or sometimes they do read. And when I started checking out their libraries, it was very sad. You know, it was locked and key on a cupboard and full of dust. And now imagine, like, do you think the kids would really read such books? They would not, right? Because for kids, everything has to be open. It has to be there. It should not be too strict, too disciplined. If everything is very, like, disciplined that way, then nobody will come and read. And since the kids that we've been serving, you know, these kids, they haven't, for like, they automatically feel scared if it is locked and key. They feel that it's not ours. So we realized that, you know, the first important thing that you need to give a child is ownership. The first one, the first one is identity, which we did through postcard exchange, because it is very important to know who you are, right? And the second thing we did was ownership. Ownership is very important. If you think that you're not the owner, you won't be able to do anything, right? So what we did was then the wall of books, you know, it started. And wall of books, what we did was we gave ownership to children. The kids, they started building their tiny libraries just on the wall with the help of jute bag. And, you know, we collaborated with 10, 15 publishers, or maybe less, yes, with publishers. And you know, we used to get discount and we started giving kids books, the normal kind of books, like, you know, from Amar Chitra Katha, Children Book Trust, those kinds of books we used to give. And the entire library was run by the children themselves. You know, a leader was elected. In fact, for them, it was, you know, the kids, in fact, they gave votes to their favorite contestant. It was exactly like the way which we do in normal election. For them, it was very serious. But for us, it was fun for us. But for them, it was very serious. They were giving vote for the first time. And, you know, you could see it in their face, how proud they were while giving votes. And yes, so that is how Wallabook started. The kids started creating their own libraries and all these organizations. And that is how Wallabook started. And we created 100 centers in Calcutta in collaboration with organizations. And then we went to Delhi. We built 75 in collaboration with all these NGOs, you know, orphanages, government schools, schools who do not have access to books. And the entire library was built by the children, you know, made out of paper mache. Mm-hmm. And then we tested a model, in fact, in Arunachal Pradesh. It's you know, the place is pretty remote. You know, kids walk at least 10 kilometers they walk to reach the school. And you know, we tried to test our model there, whether it works or not. So we built 4, and we went to Bangalore, Gujarat, all over. We created around more than 200 centers. So that is how, you know, Wallabook started.
When started, you said that you approached publishers. You had a tie-up with publishers and they gave it at a good rate for you. When did children start creating their own books?
Okay, yes. Let me, I'll be sharing with you that as well. So what happened was, when we started creating all the centers, you know, It was yes, we like it was 2019, I guess, before COVID, right? When we were in Delhi, we were working with the teachers there. In fact, we not only work with children, but we train teachers, because teachers are there with children 24/7 and they know what is best for the children. So, you know, we started training teachers on different topics. So what happened was, during that time, COVID hit. And it was, you know, and COVID hit, all the schools were shut down. And it was a very scary moment, not for us, but for the entire world, right? So during that time, what happened was, you know, it was time for us to kind of revisit on the work that we had done. Because, like, you know, our mission, like, you know, we want to reach out to every child who does not have access to book. And giving books, you know, getting tying up with publisher and giving 100 books to each of the center was it's not enough, right? That way we won't be able to reach the children, like we won't be able to reach children, a lot of children that we wanted to. So what happened was, we thought that why not create our own books. So we thought, like, you know, a sheet of paper can do a marvelous job. A blank sheet of paper is very, very powerful. It can do wonders. And during that time, we saw a lot of people blogging, writing, doing various things. And even Sanjukt was into writing. And then we figured out that, wow, there are people who are expressing their thoughts, expressing their opinions. Now, why don't we get them to write books for us? Because these stories will be real stories. You know, and our kids will be able to connect with them, right? So what we did was, you know, we started approaching people, like, you know, would you like to write a single story for us? And then people, you know, they were ready to do that. And we got more than 100, you know, writers. You can say not exactly writers, but we call them our ambassadors, people who are more interested in writing. You know, we got them. And we also got a few of the world famous, you know, illustrators, you know, who kind of volunteered for us. And that is how the whole thing started. Our tiny books took shape. And right now we have hundreds of books, you know, where people from across the world have written. And these books are fantastic. It's about their, it's about different culture. It's about various things, you know, which is so important for children to read. Now imagine children in Calcutta or children in Bangalore reading these books, which, you know, they might not have been to this place, but they are getting to read, they're getting to understand. So it's just a single page, you know, where it's just a single page. But you know, the writings are fantastic. So that is how we said, that is how the whole thing started. And now, not only that, you know, the kids in our centers, they write their own storybooks. They're inspired by the writers who've written stories for them. Now they've started creating their own little books.
Wow, wow. Because I remember when Sanjukt approached me, he had said within 120 words, you're supposed to write a whole story. And yes, I was like, how do you write a story? And I said, should there be a message? What should be the takeaway? And he was like, no, there is no nothing binding the writer. You just write the story, the children will have their takeaways. I love that idea of keeping it open and not thinking that we need to give, as adults, whenever we write anything, we need to write with the moral, with the story.
No, so the child will take it. They're very clever, you know, they're very intelligent, they understand each and everything. So yes, you know, our, yeah.
Yeah, can you tell me, Swastika, any story in the process of putting all this together from little children, any experience that you've had wherein you were like in an aha, this is fantastic, or thank God I'm doing this because it's so meaningful?
Okay, so what we did was we collaborated with an organization here in Calcutta. It's called the Loreto Rainbows. Loreto works with 600 girl children. All these children are from the streets. Most of these children, you know, they don't have parents or they have single mom. So, and Loreto takes care of them. Their entire food, school, you know, everything. And in each of these Loretos, I don't know if you ever have a chance to come to Calcutta, you know, I would love to take you there. So in each of these Loretos, there are 100 girl children. There are six Loretos, there are 100 girl children, which Loreto takes care of. So we started working with them. So while working with them, and the first thing that we did was, you know, we wanted the kids to read books. So apart from that, we thought that, like, you know, what if the kids can also write? Reading is fine, but writing is so important, right? That is how you tend to open up. That is how you tend to communicate with the world. That is how you tend to, you know, be confident about who you are. So we did this program called the Voicegram Reading Writing, Voicegram Reading Writing and Expression Program. So it was a year-long program working with over 600 girls' children. So the kids, you know, they initially, they were like very hesitant to write. They didn't want to write because, you know, writing has been a part of their life. Like, you know, school, they write. Everywhere, they write, right? School, they write. Come back, you know, they have their tuitions, they write. But, you know, and then they were hesitant. And at least, you know, it took us at least 1-2 months to make them feel that it's not a writing thing. It's more about expressing what's in you. And then when we told them, you know, the best writer, I mean, to say the best kid who writes well will also, his or her, I mean, her story will also be published. So then, you know, the kids were kind of motivated to write. Not exactly all the kids, but a few of the kids who were into writing and reading, they were motivated to write. And when the first set of books were published, you know, the best books were published, all the kids were amazed to see that, wow, seriously, Didi, you know, even our books can be published. Even we will become a writer. And then, you know, I had told them, like, yes, anybody can become a writer. Everybody has a story. You know, you just need to have your unique story and you can become a writer. And you don't, what do you feel a writer should be? So they were like telling me, you know, somebody who is educated, you know, who's got lots of degree. And when you told them, like, you don't need to have lots of degree. You don't need to be you don't need to be educated. You just need to have your real story. It should not be copied, but it should come from within. It should be based on either on your imagination or it should can be based on your life experience. So it was wonderful to see that, you know, the kids were so happy when they got their first storybook, which was published. And, you know, they were very happy to call themselves the authors of the books. So that is how it really went, you know. And right now there are, you know, not only 100, but thousands of stories that we receive from these kids. And all the stories are simply amazing, you know. It's more about, like, they have become so, like, they've got a, you know, what do you call it? A safe place where they can really open up. Where they can really tell what they feel. They do not have any restrictions now. So, you know, the stories are amazing. In fact, we were also planning to, you know, run, I mean, to say, like, maybe this year, you know, run an exhibition. I mean, to say, a booklet fest by the end of this year, where all the books written by the kids will be exhibited, you know, where the parents can come and see what they have really written. So, yeah, so, yes.
Okay. So invariably, the children you choose are children from the not so privileged background, so that they get this privilege of what love of books is all about.
Yes. So the kids that we do not collaborate, we do not work directly with kids. I mean, we work with kids, but yeah, in collaboration with organizations. These organizations already get kids from. These organizations are organizations working for kids, like orphanages, mm-hmm, shelter homes. So we collaborate with them. And and then that's how we work.
Wow. So the pandemic seemed to have actually opened up newer projects and more meaningful steps in the journey that you have taken, Swastika. Yeah, because the story that you just said is something that grew in the pandemic. You know, for all of us, the pandemic was a pause moment. For a lot of us, it was time to just look inward because we realized we were on a treadmill that needed to be just switched off and get off the treadmill. We realized that we were just leading mechanical lives. A force completely forced arrest by nature, and we realized how much life can be more meaningful. There are many takeaways for a lot of us, but what were specifically your reflections from the pandemic?
Pandemic, in fact, I would say it was an opportunity for us. There was a lot of hardships, but, we were kind of, we wanted to, like, for me especially, it was like, I have a vision, right? Like, I'm responsible for something.
Yes.
And I have to, I've taken a responsibility, and I have to be responsible for it. I should not shy away. So, in fact, pandemic has made me even more stronger. It has taught me, like, there are no shortcuts to life. So we pivoted during pandemic. So the things that we do, the things that we did, we reflected on the things that we did, whether we were going the right way or what is to be done. So, like, pandemic gave us a lot of opportunities to understand what is right, what is it that is really important, what are the things which is to be done, what are the mistakes that you've done which you can really work on.
Yeah.
So it was great, So yeah. So I think there was a lot of learning during pandemic, and the first the most important thing was, especially for me, like I told you that, if you've taken some responsibility for someone, you have to fulfill it. You cannot shy away from your responsibility.
Yeah.
So that is something which I really feel, So the other thing which I think was, you need to be very empathetic towards other persons. So these are some of the things.
Okay. Yes, the pandemic truly made us reflect. And as we've reached the end of the conversation, Swastika, before we go into life lessons, are there any special moments of recognition, moments of reflection in this journey that you've been on, which make you smile and satisfied that you're on this journey?
Oh, wow. Yes. In fact, Rashmi, like I told you, this, during my second year of master's, that is how I met Sanjay. Then I started working with him. In fact, this is my first, you can say, a job, you can say anything, this is how my life started with. And World of Books is my identity. Because of World of Books, I'm here. Because of World of Books, I'm speaking to you.
Yeah.
So, I feel very happy and proud of the work that I do, especially when it comes to children. At the end of the day, I feel satisfied that, it is something that I'm doing to make somebody smile and to give hope to someone. So that is what keeps me going. And especially the people who work in my organization, in our organization, we have a very small team of 10, but these people are very passionate about education. And yes, I feel, whatever steps I've taken, though I've not completed my master's, I feel very fortunate that I met Sanjog and, how my journey unfolded. So it's beautiful. It's been a wonderful experience, and I'm really enjoying it. In fact, so many challenges which we have right now, but it's really interesting, and it's fantastic at the end of the day.
Yeah. Swastika, you've told us your progress till now. What are your future plans?
Okay. Not exactly future plans, but I haven't told you more about what are the things we've been doing. It's not only about storybooks, So storybook is a part of it, but there are more. So what we are trying to do right now is we are collaborating with universities, we are collaborating with different partners to create something called the $1 classroom. So $1 classroom is, a set of books on different topics. It can be on nutrition, it can be on health, it can be on hygiene. So this is what we've been trying to do.
Oh, wow. Okay. And why call it $1 classroom?
So $1 because, you know, a kid in any part of the world can access this book for just $1. I mean, you see, like, obviously the organizations would pay for it. So it's just in $1 can access this whole curriculum for 1 year. So that's what we've been doing. And apart from that, we are also training the teachers on how to innovate in their classroom using our tools and methods. Teachers are very important, especially for children, because they are with them 24/7, right? So we have also, so we are also developing tools for teachers in the classroom. Apart from that, try the gap between school and home. So what has really been happening is, you know, the parents, they do not know what is really happening in the school. The parents do not know about the child's education. The parents are unaware. They just feel that, you know, my kid will pass in the class. That is all pass in the class. That is all work. That is all we need. Apart from that, they really don't know whether the kids are progressing or what really is happening. So through our $1 classroom, we are trying to bridge the gap between school to home. So, you know, and where the parents can also be a part of it. So there are various innovations that we are trying to bring into our, you know, our curriculum. So it's not just the little books, storybooks that we give to the children, but there is a curriculum which is for 1 full year based on different topics that we've been collaborating with different institutes and helping teachers to innovate in class and bridging the gap between the, you know, the home and the school. So, yeah.
Yes, and 3 life lessons, Swastika, that you'd like to leave us with?
Nobody is vulnerable. Everybody is capable. You just need to give that person or that kid, you know, that thing to do which will make him or her capable. That is something I feel is very important, you know. The second thing I feel is, like I said to you earlier, that there is no shortcuts to life, no matter how intelligent you are, you know. Hard work is very, very important. It's very important. Unless you work hard, you will not be able to achieve your goals. And the third thing I feel is, if you really want to achieve something in life, you really need to push harder. You really need to work on it. And these 3 things, I think, is what I feel and what I learned.
Wow. You need to push yourself harder, and that you truly are doing. The magic you're doing with children, Swastika, is something that I'm sure, because the children are the leaders of tomorrow. Yes. The country is going to be in their hands, and to know that you're introducing them into areas which they wouldn't have got introduced to, and helping them understand how creative each of them is. I loved when you said that each of you has a story and that story needs to be heard. Are powerful words for these children. And at that impressionable age, they sure are going to turn out to be confident youngsters. Thank you so much for the work that you're doing and bringing out the confidence in each of these children. Such meaningful work. May your tribe increase. Honored to have had you on You and I with Rashmi Shetty. God bless you and Sanju and the work that you're doing. And just thrive. That's all I can tell you.
Thank you so much, Rashmi, for doing all that you do to make this world a better place. Thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to be a part of your podcast.
My pleasure completely. Stay blessed.
Okay, bye. Thank you.
With that, we come to the end of this weekly quest of You and I with Rashmi Shetty. Do let us know if you know people who make the world beautiful. Write in to rashmi.thethirdeye@gmail.com. That is rashmi dot
thirdeye@gmail.com. Come, let's explore this amazing world together, both you and I.